All right, take your Bibles. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, in honor of Veterans Day, I thought I'd bring a message on a good soldier. It won't be long, but I think it would be very appropriate to Veterans Day. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Now, in verses 1 through 7, Paul gives seven metaphors for the man of God. He's talking to Timothy, he's talking to pastors, he's talking to any good soldier of the cross. And if anybody knew what a Roman soldier was all about, it was Apostle Paul. He spent most of his ministry chained to one, right? And in fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, 13 through 17, he uses the analogy of, in spiritual warfare, that of the armor of a Roman soldier. And he calls himself an ambassador in bonds, right? He's not a prisoner of Rome. He's an ambassador in bonds for God the King, right? A prisoner of Jesus Christ. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 7, I won't read all the text. I'm just going to preach on verses 3 and 4. But again, he talks about Timothy having a man of spiritual vigor and commitment. And to finish well, Timothy had begun to weak a little bit. He began to compromise. And the tendency is for all of us sometimes to that. And we need to use this moment in time in our history of our nation to strengthen ourselves, renew our commitment and vigor to be the kind of soldier for the cross that we ought to be. And he uses these four metaphors and images of what a strong and committed soldier looks like. He says in verse 1 and 2, to be diligent like a teacher. In verse 3 and 4, be dedicated like a soldier. In verse 5, be disciplined like an athlete. And be durable like a farmer. In verses 6 and 7. But I want to focus on verses 3 and 4, if you will. Let's read the text. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be the soldier. And verse 3 and 4, okay. So he gives us here, I believe, three characteristics of a good soldier of the cross, the man of God. The primary interpretation is the pastor that God has placed over that flock to lead that flock. But all of us are to be good soldiers for Jesus Christ, right? He's the commander-in-chief, and we are the foot soldiers, right? Can I get an amen there? And that's what we ought to be marching on to Zion about. Number one, I think a good soldier is someone, he must be willing to suffer hardness and suffer hardship. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness. When a soldier enlists in the army and armed forces, he knows he or she will suffer hardship and possibly death. Soldiering requires physical and mental endurance. Our veterans here can tell us that. Well, Paul compares the ministry to a soldier. It's not a soft, easy job. A faithful minister is in a battle that requires spiritual endurance against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And this is the fifth church that God has granted for me to serve. Some of them I didn't look at like a gift, but Trinity Baptist is a gift, right? But some of them I didn't look at it that way. They, you know, it was hard. What me and my family had to endure was, I could write a book, but they wouldn't put it, they put it in the fiction section of the bookstore, right? If I would tell them, got to be willing to endure hardness. So Paul tells Timothy to be a partaker of the afflictions, endure afflictions for the gospel. Chapter 1, verse 8, chapter 4, verse 5. We need more, if I put it this way, we need more green berets in the ministry, right? Instead of calling in fear and compromising the word of God and the ministry and biblical mandates for ministry and what God teaches us about his word. I think if Jesus Christ, well, he knows right now anyway, but when he comes back, he's not going to recognize his church. Can I get an amen there? He will recognize us and others like us that hold to the sound doctrine and hold to biblical mandates for ministry. But it grieves his heart today, I think, to see how far the church has drifted. We need more green berets or special forces for Jesus. And number two, if we're going to be a good soldier, we must have a desire to please his commander. Every good soldier has the desire to please those above him, right? Men? I say men because back when I grew up, women weren't in the services, okay? So I'm used to that. We must have a desire to please his commander. Verse 3, notice what he said. He said, "Now therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." He is the commander in chief. A good soldier wants to please the commander in chief, the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the metaphors for believers in the Bible is an army. We are the army of God. Jesus Christ is our chief commander, and we are his foot soldiers. We are in the Lord's army. Ain't there a song like that? We are in the Lord's army, right? Y'all say it with me. Yeah, I don't know what the rest of the song sings about, but we're in the Lord's army, right? Army, not army, army. And we in this battle. And we have a desire to be well-pleasing and a sacrifice to him and accomplish and complete our mission, wherever that is. If it's, for me, it's been 69 years so far. I don't know how much longer the Lord's going to remain me on this earth. But I have a mission. And when he's through with me, he's going to take me home. And hopefully I'm going to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And we all want to hear that, don't we? I don't want to hear, and I know I'm not going to hear, "Depart from me, I never, worker of iniquity, I never knew you." I know I'm saved, right? The Bible says in 1 John, you can know, right, that you're saved. Don't go through life wondering about whether you're going to die on a saved day or a lost day. We don't believe that, right? We believe that we can know that we're saved. And we want to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Our desire is to please our commander. And I told you a while ago that our commander is not in the White House, it's in the Father's house, right? And we want to sacrifice and accomplish everything we can while we're on mission to him. Total obedience, right? And then lastly, we must not be distracted by worldly entanglements. And that's the kicker. This is where it comes in at. The world wants to conform us to their image rather than being transformed in the image of Christ. And they'll dangle these entanglements in front of us, right? And we can get so busy involved in politics that we forget why we're here, right? And I do that from time to time. I know that. My family tells me that. But I'm telling you, I love America so much, right? And I care for our nation. And I hate to see it going down the road of socialism and Marxism and communism. I hate to see it. If you love America, say, "I love America." I do, right. We're going to be like the black church in a minute. We're going to take up an offering, right? I love America. I care for our nation. And all these great veterans and all these people that died and we honor on Memorial Day, they would roll over if they see where we're at right now, you know? But nobody loves the church more than Jesus Christ does. We must not be distracted by worldly entanglements. And it's innocent sometimes, you know? We like pleasure, we like hobbies, and next thing you know, they take precedent over our obedience to the Lord. It's easy to happen. But a soldier is active full-time duty is in the thick of the battle. A good soldier must have single purpose, discipline, and allegiance. That's what got you through Vietnam and those rice paddies, wasn't it, Brother Frank? I mean, he told me some stories sometimes, and I tell you, I don't know how anybody can go out and burn an American flag and not welcome a veteran home. Amen? Amen. I just can't understand it. I'm gonna get y'all going. We're gonna be chucking and moaning in a minute here, right? But I'm telling you, I don't mind telling you, I dislike anybody that dishonors America and dishonors the American flag. Now I feel better already. But the pastor puts a priority on his calling. That's who he's talking to. He's totally committed to his commanding officer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he alone enlisted him. He alone chose him into the ministry, right? I'm not here because I wanted to be. I'm not here because I thought there was something good in me. I'm not here because grandma wanted me to be here. I'm here because God called me, right? If you had saw me growing up, I made a D in English. You probably said, "Well, it's a wonder you didn't make an F," you know. But I made a D in English. I couldn't even speak in front of nobody. I was the shyest person on the face of the earth. And when the Lord began to call me, I said, "Who, me?" You know, I couldn't understand it. Why are you going to let me fall flat on my face, you know? And I couldn't understand it. But if he's called you, he will equip you and gift you what you need to do it, right? And so, it's God who calls a pastor. and what he needs to be. He can't be distracted. And I try not to get distracted. When I've been another pastor at St. Adel, they try to get me to be involved in this and that and that and that and this. But I can't be. My calling is not that. My calling is to be a pastor to this church, right? And I can't have no other thing in the world that distracts me from that. And that's the same thing as a soldier. Brother Franklin, you was in a rice paddy in Vietnam and others here, and you weren't thinking about nothing else other than being obedient and please the commander and survive, right? And accomplish the mission. You didn't have smartphones back when you were in Vietnam, right? And you weren't on there looking at your stocks and all this and your 401k, right? You have one singleness of mission, right? And that's what we do. Luke chapter 9, verse 62 says, "And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." And I want to close with this quote. It's from that great theologian, Robert Jacobs. He shared this on Facebook. Y'all saw it. It just touched me. He shared a quote. "I am not afraid of failing. I am afraid of succeeding at something that matters not to God." I like that, don't you? I am not afraid of failing. I am afraid of succeeding at something that matters not to God. Case in point, you may win a hot dog eating contest one day, right? But when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, God's not going to ask you how many hot dogs you ate, right? He's going to ask you if you've been a good and faithful servant, right? Don't get distracted. Be willing to endure hardness and have a desire to please the commander. I'm going to ask our musicians to come forward at this time. We're going to have an invitation, and then we're going to turn it over to the United Daughters of the Confederacy, okay?